Welcome to a brand new episode of the ZZU Podcast, where three friends play video games at our modern pace.
You're in a place.
As always, I'm the person trying to catch up on video games, Zach, and join with me is Mr. Witcher Extraordinaire.
Zach.
And, see, what are you playing right now?
Nothing, really.
Huh.
Did you pause on Divinity, though?
I did. Just because I was playing, the upstairs power went out, and I haven't turned my computer back on since.
When was this?
Sunday?
No, Sunday. Friday.
Really?
Thursday or Friday. I got home early from work and was playing, and then breaker just tripped, so I haven't turned my computer on since.
Huh. Well, at least a breaker just trips and our power goes out. It's not like my ceiling fan, which is haunted. Turns on middle of the night.
Has it happened since the breaker trip, though?
Yes. Last night, 9:31 p.m.
Are you just keeping tabs of it now?
I mean, you and keeping data. Were having a mini fan war this afternoon.
You're the one that kept turning my fan on.
No, the fan was already on. It was on low, I'm assuming. And I had the one downstairs on high. And it's going, and all of a sudden, it slows down. Like, God damn it, Zach's turning on his fan. So I turned it on high again.
There's got to be a way to reprogram those, right? Does it not use the same RF signal?
I don't know.
it's too much work.
It doesn't explain why my light turns on in the middle of the night, though.
No, that one's still a mystery.
Yeah. So, anyways, So right now, what I'm doing, and this, hence the intro, I'm doing a thing called Summer Games Done at a Moderate Pace.
Can't wait till you get one of the massive RPGs.
Yeah,
because it'll turn into games not done. At all. Yeah.
So far,
I mean, you have Kingdom Hearts 1.5 on there, which the speedrun trophy, literally the speedrun trophy, is 15 hours.
Yeah, so for anyone that's listening, I'm on my third game currently. I finished Star Wars Battlefront 2 DLC, campaign, including the DLC, Halo Wars 2 campaign, and I might cave and just buy that DLC because I keep playing the game. My current game is supposed to be Unravel, which I have yet to touch. other games on my list for Skidamp is what we call it.
Skidipadoo.
There's an ad on my thing. It's really embarrassing. It's the Hogwarts mystery game on mobile.
Oh, the one everybody hates.
No one hates it. It's just that you can't play the game without buying things. So other games on my summer games done at a moderate pace is the GTA 5 story mode, Life is Strange Before the Storm, Tales of Xillia 2, Pokemon Ultra Moon, Kingdom Hearts 1.5, ReCore, Final Fantasy X, Wolf Among Us 100%, Platinum World of Final Fantasy, Golf Story, Mario Plus Rabbids, Ori and the Blind Forest, Halo Wars 2 DLC, which I might take off the list and just start playing now, Final Fantasy Comrades DLC/achievements, Battlefield 1, Witcher 3, Assassin's Creed China, Nier, Hunt for Achievements, and Dragon Age Origins.
Do you know how many minimum 15-hour games you have on that list?
Oh, dude, none of these.
I'm like, that one, that one, that one. Like, you have Tales of Xillia and Kingdom Hearts right in a row.
And I do realize...
You could do Nier's, like, 20 hours minimum.
Tales of Xillia is minimum 30 hours.
Witcher, yeah. Ha! I laugh in the distance of 60 hours is like a minimum maybe for just the story.
Again, and the thing that I'm doing is because I'm so indecisive, I put them all on a roulette wheel. So anytime I'm ready to play a new game, I spin the wheel.
So
what happens when you do it in secret? And you're like, oh, Witcher 3. Spin again.
I'm spinning the wheel right now for anyone that's listening.
So
Final Fantasy X.
Yeah.
So
minimum 30, well, no, 40 hours.
That's why I only spin the wheel in front of a witness, and that's why I message it to you guys afterwards.
Ooh, that's not like I can put on there the witness.
I'm not playing the witness. I've done that. There's no game there.
There is, though. It's fun puzzle solving.
It's a puzzle game. It's just no. I'm not doing that again. Anyways, one of the reasons why I brought up summer games done at a moderate pace is because this week is summer games done quick.
Already throwing off the list. Great.
I'm just trying to put things together in terms of conversation.
It's fine. I'll fix it. I'll fix it.
You kids and your timestamps.
I'm doing it for the people.
All eight of you listening. Eight times another number.
Dude, multiples. We almost hit 200 episodes on the E3 one.
Ooh. Or
200 downloads.
For those of you that are looking at it, Summer Games Done Quick, hopefully you're aware of it. It's a charity event. It's an annual speedrunning charity that takes place all throughout this week. It started officially yesterday, right?
Yes.
And yeah, there's always a ton of different old school games like Spyro, Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask, 2016's Doom, even Banjo-Tooie. The entire event runs until Sunday, July 1st, and ends with a scheduled 7-hour run of Final Fantasy VI speedrunning. Other popular games that you might see are Mario 64, Celeste, Getting Over It. Oh, God. There's an end to that game? Getting Over It.
Yeah.
When you finally get over it.
You actually fly into space.
Huh. And there's one thing that was not on the schedule this year is Mario Odyssey. Just because it's, I don't know, newish. People are still
Celeste is out. New.
Yeah, but Celeste has a really definitive end. Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, Mario Odyssey has a definitive end.
You can go through all the story.
When you beat Bowser on the moon and save Peach.
I don't know. Like, maybe it's because Celeste is maybe like a 10-hour game for normal people. And speedrunning it might be like
two.
Yeah.
I mean, speedrunning Mario Odyssey is...
But the entire event is on Twitch, and the entire event on all donations made during the marathon will support Doctors Without Borders organization. Last year, Summer Games Done Quick raised $1.7 million for the nonprofit, while speedrunning groups Awesome Games Done Quick raised over $2.2 million for the Prevent Cancer Foundation earlier this year. So it's a really cool charity thing.
It's the same organization, isn't it? Just AGDQ is in the winter.
Yep. Yeah.
And Funhouse raised $20,000 to give to Games Done Quick with their Games Done Slow. Also, the world record for Super Mario Odyssey speedrun, 1 hour and 6 minutes.
Damn.
So that could easily be a Games Done Quick speedrun.
You beat that game in less than 2 hours.
You don't need to get 100 moons to beat it.
Oh.
If you do the bare minimum, you can blaze through the game.
It's like
hunting the other 500 and something moons that extend the game.
Yeah.
It's like a
fucking darker side of the moon. Never forget.
Fighting the Adamantoise as soon as you start Final Fantasy 13 or 15.
Pretty much.
Just hitting it for an hour and a half. And then you learn, oh no, death does work. You just have to sit there for a real long time.
Didn't do that one. With Royal Edition out too, there's people putting like, oh, post game story stuff that you could do, or a post-game checklist to truly 100% 15. And I was looking at the list, I'm like, yeah, some of these are just never going to happen. Like Prompto's bullshit snowmobile. That is horrible. Or beat Noctis in episode Ignis in such amount of time. I'm like, ah, oh, that's awful. But I really want to revisit that game completely too, because they like, oh, Noctis has another Armagear mode that ascends from the normal one. That's even more OP. And I'm like, I need it.
I would go back to fly around in the car again.
Well, you can go off-roading now.
I know, but you can fly in the fucking car.
Yeah, but when you try and land, you're like, all right, I found a landing strip. Oh, look, the top of a hill. Tink.
Oh, I just always did it on the roads.
The light pole.
Oh, look, the secret dungeon that has one tiny little landing strip that if you don't hit perfectly, you will explode and have to do it all over again.
Apparently there's a Bahamut fight now too, so yeah. I'm really excited for that.
So, real quick, off topic, I finally found the Kingdom Hearts meme.
Are we ever on topic?
That I saw
the keyboard meme?
Nah, yeah, the Aqua one. It's the upgrade meme, but then instead of the go back...
Fuck, no, wait.
No, it says step on me. It's Aqua, upgrade. Aqua got Norded, step on me. That is like the going thing of like, it was like, no, she got Norton. And then there's that small group of
like, fuck.
I'd let her step on me.
It's like the people that are really obsessed with Widowmaker's one big game.
Yeah, where she steps on you.
Yeah.
Or Anna just tranking you and going, shh. It's like, there's a small group of people that find that really sexual.
Fun fact, all of her play the game things are all connected. Yeah, they're all connected. One story. It's like, oh, that's really neat. Blizzard also teased the 20th hero. Nobody knows what it is yet.
Well, because all they've shown so far is a fucking alley with posters.
From King
Hero. Is it going to be the dinosaur?
I don't know. Well, maybe. I want people, the moon dinosaur. Some people think it might be another animal of some sort.
Meanwhile, everyone's like, Queen of Junkertown, when she coming?
Everybody like is like, what the fuck? Where's she? Give us her!
Well, think about like how some characters were alluded to, and then how long it took for them to actually release that character.
Like Doomfist.
Sombra.
Yeah.
Sombra no one beat the ARG.
And then they stopped doing those. They're like, okay, yeah, so that was a mistake.
Put out a new tease 2 hours ago.
Oh, hey.
Saying, rolling through, and then just...
I'm to your direct right. I can't I know, see I'm the phone. Okay.
To... It's not replaying. There it is.
Yeah, it looks like it's not playing, but yeah.
Okay.
Which is nothing, and then... So... Nothingness.
Okay. Rock confirmed.
No bots, so they're racist.
Well, they're in King's Row.
Interesting. So it's a giant ball. Is that
Super Monkey Ball crossover?
Oh my god, it's an armadillo.
Armadillomon?
It could be an armadillo, space armadillo. We don't know what was on the moon.
Robo armadillo, since there's no bots in the background. What else do you put going across no bots on a robot? Duh.
It's actually Zenyatta's ball that gains sentience.
Omnic Pillbug.
So, speaking of awesome things like Overwatch and other awesome things like Star Wars, people fucked up, yo. Like, alright. At this given point in time, we had 9 Star Wars movies apparently in production.
And I still think that's too many.
We had Rian Johnson's. We have the Game of Thrones dudes, so that's 6.
Yeah, I forgot about them.
Supposedly an Obi-Wan film. James Mangold's Boba Fett movie. And then Episode 9. Everyone got a real tizzy about Solo and boycotted the film. And you should still go watch Solo. Yes, it did flop in the box office because that's people just suck and they didn't give the movie a chance. I am willing to give every movie a chance. I saw Hereditary today. I wanted to cry. Crap my pants.
I thought you weren't going to go
see it. Someone wrote me into it today. It just scared the shit out of me. God damn it. I want those 2 hours back.
I can't watch it alone now.
I don't want to watch it again.
But Zach, I can't watch it alone.
I'm not fucking going. This is already decided.
Watch it alone.
But Zach, we bought 3 tickets for Saturday after we help our friend move.
Well, 5 tickets. We got to bring Jim and Angelica.
Okay.
We can all cry together.
No.
God, that movie fucked me. But so
speaking of movies, it fucked up.
So apparently, because the Solo is boycotting, Lucasfilm was like, all right, we're going to pump the brakes. We're just going to put any production on hold.
They didn't even pump the brakes. They threw the e-brake and slammed it into a wall.
But here's the best part. Lucasfilm did come out and debunk those rumors that they put all of the Star Wars standalone movies on hold. As it stands, the Obi-Wan Solo project is now being rumored to still be in development, but for Disney streaming service. Because how else are you going to force people to come to your streaming service? Not only
give them the one
do you
thing,
have Pixar
the one
and Disney
movie
films,
they've wanted.
They want an Obi-Wan film. And think about it, like prequel memes. They're one of the reasons why Solo got sent out to die. But if we do get an Obi-Wan film starring Ewan McGregor.
I say, like, that would be the one they were like, Obi-Wan movie on the Star Wars streaming.
Can we just get that one and then just, like, take a year break? Like, this is, we're getting too many. Like, we've oversaturated.
After Solo, I actually take back my statement. Because I think, again, this goes back to what Steve was yelling at me about the Avengers films. Where there are periods where you do feel that fatigue. But we're after Solo, I'm like, I want more things.
Correction,
yes.
I wasn't yelling about the Avengers movies. I was yelling about you saying there's too many Star Wars movies.
And then you actually use the Avengers as that counterpoint. Because I was like, oh, there's too
many
superhero
films. We only get an Avengers movie every, what?
We get a Marvel film three a year. Meanwhile, there's like, oh, there's Marvel fatigue going on because Deadpool didn't do so well. Meanwhile, you look at Infinity War, which is now the 4th highest grossing movie ever.
And I only saw it once.
The only thing that's beating it are Avatar, Titanic, and...
James Cameron.
One other thing that's not James Cameron, surprisingly.
So,
Which I'm slowly converting more people into the Avatar really wasn't that great camp. Because I was talking to my parents about it.
It's Pocahontas.
Well, that's but we were talking about it, and there's like four Avatar movies planned for the next 5 years. And my dad's like, I don't know if I'm going to go see another one. The first one wasn't that great. And I'm like, all right, Dad, let's play a little game.
Jake Scully.
Name two characters from the movie.
Sigourney Weaver.
He couldn't even name Jake Sully off the top of his head.
I said Scully, too.
That's so it. I'll just show how much I know. I play that game. I even let them have Jake Sully. I'm like, all right, name a second one. Zoe Saldana? What was her name?
Oh, come on, Funhouse.
The only reason I know it is because of Funhouse. Yeah. It was Neytiri.
That's right.
I was going to say Nigiri. I'm like, that's not right.
That's a sushi.
Yeah.
So, according to Playlist, this goes back to the Star Wars conversation. In order for the service, expected to launch next year, to compete with Netflix, Disney wants high-profile series and studio execs to do further Star Wars films. One of the films that was actually like rumored in the dark web, quote unquote, of Reddit, was a Mos Eisley movie.
What the fuck do you do with that?
It's a bar. Do you know the genre of music they play in Mos Eisley?
Cantina.
Steve?
Hold on. Hold on. I'm trying to formulate every fucking pun possible.
You're not. You just want to.
I give up on this one.
Do you really not know?
No.
Oh my god. Oh my god. You guys don't know the great music genre of jizz? Go to the Mos Eisley cantina and you get jizz everywhere. Like, it's in your ears, it's in your mouth because you're playing that soulful music. Just so much jizz.
So the third highest grossing movie of all time was, oddly enough, Star Wars The Force Awakens, to keep the circle going. And that only has beaten Infinity War by 30 million. Next closest to Avengers is Jurassic World with 1.6 million or 1.6 billion.
Yeah, so...
But there's Marvel fatigue.
I mean, the big thing is that I think people are experiencing the fatigue is just because so many of these things are released so close together that it's kind of like... You're sending them out to die, kind of like how EA was like, here's Battlefield, here's Call of Duty, Titanfall 2, here you go. I know Call of Duty's Activision, but they release so close together.
Let's put this right after a week of another major shooter. Why? No, please.
I don't think it was they were so close together that Solo was sent out to die. It's they did no press marketing for it until the very week before. Everything before was like, the movie's in trouble. This person left. Like, there's trouble on the set. There's blah, blah, blah. There's blah, blah, blah. Negative, this actor
had to be replaced.
And then the week before the movie comes out, I'm like, here's Solo. Yay. They did no
and
PR on their back end.
Honestly.
Like, no, we're good. Everything's fine. New director. Everything's fine. We swear.
That's honestly why I'm glad there's been, very minimal Aquaman news. It's like, probably means that things are okay.
And that's what James Wan does. It's like, you'll have news when I have it. And I'm like,
the movie
James Wan
or 6 months out.
Yep. And we are getting our first trailer at SDCC along with first Shazam trailer at SDCC.
Shazam.
Like, at this point, I'm super hyped over those two things, especially to help kickstart their streaming service panel. They're doing a Young Justice Outsiders panel. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are they showing an episode? Can I be there? There's a freaking Taika Waititi Funko Pop that's going to be at SDCC. And I'm like,
John, we need help.
Yeah, I'm like, John, we need a dead Yamcha and a Taika Waititi. What can you do for us?
And all of the My Heroes, please.
Do they have new ones or exclusives?
I don't know if there's an exclusive.
Because everything I said was exclusive, especially Dead Yamcha.
SD. Actually, I think the Funimation one this year is a shiny Whis from Dragon Ball.
It's like the third one they've done. Oh, Weiss. I'm thinking of Beerus. Because they've done like the chromed out Beerus and then the gold Beerus. Anyways, so Star Wars films, reportedly in development. I am super happy camper. Especially because there are also rumors that Happy Hogan and Iron Man, Jon Favreau, might be doing a live-action Star Wars series that takes place far away from the Skywalker.
Thank you. Lineage. That's all I want.
Yeah. Like, again, it's a breath of fresh air when we get things that aren't in these main episode things. Especially now that George Lucas came out to say what his original trilogy would have been about. Man, did you see this news?
Original? What? You mean sequel?
My phone is gone forever. His sequel series would have been about the Wills, like the great beings that control the Force, and he would have doubled down on the Midichlorians.
Respect him for that. Synopsis. At the same time, he probably would have been just like blasphemed.
So I did find, Zach
crawling under the table.
SDCC exclusive pop.
Oh, I found a thumbtack.
How neat. But there is an exclusive Kingdom Hearts Unhooded Organization 13 Mickey.
You're too late.
John.
And you know, let's see if I can find the news. Okay. So this article is coming from Screen Rant. And it.
Oh, are you adding this? Is this an addendum?
It could be. So Lucas's sequels would have given fans what they wanted, according to Screen Rant. It's important to note that Luke Skywalker wouldn't have been the star of Lucas's sequel trilogy. One of the first details to be revealed that Lucas's treatment centered on a group of teenagers, most likely young Jedi who were being trained by Jedi Master Skywalker. The elder Jedi Master would have taken a Yoda's charge to pass on what you have learned seriously in Lucas' sequel, taking on a Dumbledore role in the films, the powerful and wise master who's present in the background to provide support to the stars. God, what was that statement? Oh, my sequel trilogy, we're going to get into the microbiotic world, but this world of creatures that I operate differently than we do. Or that operate differently than we do. I call them the Wills, and the Wills are the ones who actually control the universe. They feed off the Force.
So would you say the Wills are the way?
Yes.
For where there is will, there is a way.
And the Wills are something that still exists ever so vaguely. Like, they're kind of the concept of where the great Jedi are. But he would have been... But it's like, huh. So you're going to go double down on the Midichlorians that everyone hates. All right.
That you yourself kind of abandoned after the first one.
You also like...
It's like midichlorians, Schwick Razor. Maybe not.
Never mind.
I tried.
He even nerfed Jar Jar Binks. Like, he said he would have played a larger role. And I'm like, dude, Jar Jar Binks is what made Palpatine the Emperor. He surrendered.
Give complete control.
Yeah, he surrendered all Emperor Palpatine powers, man. And you know what, they've done to him? They made him a clown in a boo, banished from his own family and society.
Yeah, because he fucked up.
Like, in Battlefront 2, you actually do go to Naboo. Like, all of the Battlefront 2 deal or story mode takes place, like, within a six-month period of after Return of the Jedi. But I was just expecting Jar Jar to come out. I'm just like, where is he? Where is that clown? Is he dead on the streets?
But Misa didn't want to give full power. Misa forced to.
Ah, oh, dude.
Put Chuck him out of his misery.
He would have been hailed a hero with the Imperials. Also, Battlefront 2, or story mode, once you get to like the DLC-y part, not that bad of a story.
They should have just gone with the whole evil route. Like,
stay evil the entire time?
Yeah. Like, that would have been way more interesting. Because that's what they marketed it as, like, you're the Empire. Like, oh, fucking cool. And then, no, you're not. You jump ship immediately.
No, you were there for 5 missions. Like, your love interest meets Luke on a random-ass planet that Palpatine's vault was in. And Luke grabs the compass that you see in The Last Jedi. So, look, there's a connection to the film. And then you're on your home planet, and they're like, initiate Operation Cinder, which are these giant fucking satellites that cause a geocataclysmic storm that basically destroys the entire city. And your main character is like, we have to get all these civilians off. It's what the Empire would do. And then Paul Blackthorne's character is like, no, our mission is to save this one person. All of these other people are here to die. And then you're like, no, we have to save them. He's like, are you disobeying orders?
The bandits are coming.
Yeah.
We must save my
family. It's just like, I don't know.
And then immediately, you're given an X-Wing. You team up with Lando. And then you're like part of the Danger Squadron, I think they were called, which is like the Black Ops squadron that Lando led. Speaking of which, there are rumors Lando's going to be in the last, or the episode 9.
Now, are you sure it was the Danger Squad, not the Donger Squad?
I think it's Danger.
Fucking Donger.
I know a Donger.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh.
Jack Danger. Actually, it's Jack Donger.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that. Star Wars news. Yeah. Hype.
It's always 15 minutes of Star Wars news every single time. Yeah. I always want these to go quick on Monday.
Zach, tell us about Sony.
Hang on.
Because we're talking about movie developments.
The thing that we've never expected to happen is happening. Silk lives in movie form.
Yay!
Yay! I don't have it open.
I'll open it then. I was gonna let you. So this is from CBR. Sony Pictures is reportedly developing a Spider-Man spinoff movie starring Marvel's Silk, which is totally possible because they did introduce Cindy in Homecoming. Just saying, she was there. She was the only Asian person with speaking role besides Not Genki.
Did she have a hockey stick?
No, she was on the
fucking bullshit.
Look, every member of Spider-Man's supporting cast was on the decathlon team. Hobby Brown was there. Flash Thompson was there.
Lame.
Literally, everyone there either worked for the Daily Planet or Daily Bugle, or they became superheroes. Not even kidding. So, according to The Wrap, former Sony Pictures chief Amy Pascal is producing the project, which would join a development slate that includes Silver and Black, if that ever comes out, Morbius, the Living Vampire, and Night Watch. Ruben Fleischer's Venom, starring Tom Hardy, will kick off the studio's planned expansion of Spider-Man franchise in October. Again, the biggest piece of bullshit ever would be if Silk is not connected to the larger Spider-Man universe as a whole, or Silk becomes the main character of that Spider-Man universe in Sony and then gets possessed by a symbiote, because she is the only character to not be possessed by a symbiote.
Yeah,
it's true. I don't think Miles has either of the Spider clan.
Don't think he has. I kind of wish she was just going to be a part of the animated ones, though. Because, honestly, Edge of the Spider-Verse, or it's just Spider-Verse, isn't it?
Into
the Spider-Verse looks so fucking good. It's like, just roll with that. That looks great. Stick with that, Sony.
Might be towards the end, but I don't think they want to cram. Like, it's like, all right, we got
no. You don't have to Peter, put her in
we
this
got
one.
Gwen, we got Miles. That's what I'm saying. Like, put her in at the end. Or like, look at all these other Spider people. In the next movie, if they do another animated one, like more Spider people. But I guess you've not been wanting to be like, all right, Peter, Gwen, Miles. Oh, hey, these look like nice Spider people. Shove down the throat. Here's a pig too.
It would be really cool to see if Silk remains in the Sony camp and not the MCU camp, to see her become the titular character of that franchise. Titular. You're a titular.
Thank you.
That would be a very bold move, but yeah, I'm all for it.
An Asian woman? God, people would be so upset. I'd be so excited. Let's look at the Marvel MCU camp. Asian superheroes? There are none.
You got Wong.
We also have Amadeus Cho's mother, Helen Cho. She might be dead. Who knows?
We got brainwashed by Ultron. And
it's not a really good camp for Asian people in the MCU right now, Steve.
No?
Not yet.
What's that? Silk is doing all right? Oh, no, she's gone. And she hasn't been referenced ever since.
She was in a Red Goblin arc.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right. That was the first appearance in, like, a year.
Possibly.
She's been gone for a while.
She's been gone for a while, but it's, you know, fitting.
She got sent to S.H.I.E.L.D.
She got to played with again because...
Phrasing.
Yes. Dan Slott was the one who created her in Original Sin Issue 4 with Huberto Ramos. So it's very nice to see him, like...
Come back.
Taking all of his toys, play with them and then put them in the box. His issue 801, his last issue, was very, like, it hit me in the feels, yo. It's about saving people's uncles. Not even kidding. That's the entire story. It was very
God sweet. Damn.
It was a wonderful story. He put everything in the box for, you know, Nick Spencer to come around. I'm not ready.
Now, Nick, you have one rule. What's that? No Hydra.
Nick Spencer writes really great comedy series. Like, I will admit his Ant-Man series was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, The Fix is pretty just dumb and enjoyable. And
I just keep thinking about that scene where he tries to put the dog on the toilet.
Yeah, Pretzels is pretty darn great.
Yeah. Speaking of Spider-Man news, Tom Holland, quote-unquote leaked, because all right, this feels really staged.
I have fucking words about this. You heard me go off last night. Hang on, let me get the freaking timestamp again.
There's no way this is a leak.
No, absolutely fucking not. This is just them. Steve, oh, look,
I am very
everything.
Sorry. It's not Spider-Man Winter Solstice or Winter Formal. Or
what about Sadie Spring Hawkins. Cotillion?
No Sadie Hawkins dance either.
But the Spring Cotillion.
It would have been really cute if it was the Sadie Hawkins dance, because then we have Zendaya. She has to ask him to the dance.
Anyway, yeah, my whole thing. Everyone's freaking out and reporting, oh, look, Tom Holland leaked the Spider-Man 2 name. It's like, no, he fucking didn't. Yeah, the dude literally holds up an iPad with it right on the front. No fucking way is the script like that.
Also, just the fact, oh, let's play on the meme of the guy
yes,
who leaks everything.
Yes, that's all it is, but everybody was reporting it as a leak.
Let's bring it down.
It just irks me because people
we all know.
I like how Zach had to turn down his own volume levels.
We all know it's not a leak. It's just too blatant to be a leak.
Just living off the quick
But this does go in line with what Kevin Feige's original statement was a couple months back, where it's like, yeah, Spider-Man's going to be far from home. He's going to be traversing the world. Uh-huh. The question is, does it take place before Infinity War or after Infinity War?
Didn't they confirm that it's before?
Because if it does take place before, it could be him on the school bus coming back from whatever field trip.
Yeah, it could be.
If it takes place after, we can see the carnage that is Thanos. Actually, far from home, he's in heaven, actually. I don't know if you guys realize that. Spoilers.
Uncle Ben! Back to Earth. Nope. Not yet.
Sorry. Peter's in hell. And he meets Mephisto, who says, you can have one more day with this magical wish. No. Written by J. Michael Straczynski? Yeah, it was Straczynski.
Oh, you're doing a one day more?
Yeah.
Is that what? One day
one
more?
One day more.
God, it's such a fucking terrible storyline.
You never read it. I did.
I know about it, though. I'm just like, that just sounds
Think about how
awful.
I feel, where it's like, even in Dan Slott's run, and even in, I think it was Joe Kelly who wrote Spider-Man Deadpool, they reference Mephisto. It's like, I remember a deal like this. You should never take wishes from the devil. And he's talking to Loki, and then there's an image of Mephisto behind him, and it's just like, yeah, Peter. Great. Anyways. They did also confirm, so this is coming from Hollywood Reporter, on Instagram, Tom Holland revealed that it's called Spider-Man Far From Home. And then I think they also for sure have confirmed that Jake Gyllenhaal is going to come in as Mysterio, which is very exciting.
Ooh.
And if they do go with like multiple villains, well, if they introduce Mysterio, they have to introduce Toy Master, who makes Mysterio stuff, or Mysterio is somehow connected to Vulture. And then with Mysterio, Vulture, Toy Maker, we also got Scorpion in that post-credit scene. We're only two people away from the Sinister Six.
It's true.
Not Very produced close. By Sony. That would have came out already.
Yep. So are Rhino and Electro off limits then? Just because they were using Sony's then?
I don't know. I think they have all of the it's like divorced parents, joint custody kind of thing, where like Spider-Man Homecoming, even though it is an MCU film, it's actually a Sony picture, and that's why it's not on Netflix.
It's just kind of like so fucking lent out to them of like, here, you can use the toy, but he's still ours.
It's kind of like how,
or it's like playing a game on someone else's Xbox account. It's like you get to play through it. You get all of that. But it's still mine.
I'm still here watching you, like, logged in.
I still get the achievements.
Unless we switch accounts, then I get the achievements.
Yeah, you fucked me already with Star Wars.
You started playing it on your own first.
I started playing the campaign. You started playing multiplayer. Then halfway through, you're like, I want to play on my account.
That's true. I did goo. One of the big things, too, with this, people coming out of E3 were talking about Spider-Man for PS4 by Insomniac Games. In order to make the Spider-Man universe bigger, even though you are only playing in New York City, they have Avengers Tower. And they also have Doctor Strange's house. They said they wanted to put actual Marvel landmarks in the game to make it look like the Marvel universe.
I can go the Spider-Man to the universe Sanctum
is bigger. Yeah. The you can high-five Doctor Strange, maybe.
Don't tease me.
That's Did you good. Say the Baxter Building?
Yeah.
I would cry. It's like, Johnny, are you there? It's like, oh, wait, no. Never mind. Fantastic Four comes back this year.
They exist again.
Soon.
It's like you go to high five Doctor Strange all year and the background is and he vanishes like no.
And then Wong is just like, got you.
Fooled you.
It's like, I got you, Wong.
Yeah. So that's exciting. I'm always down for more Spider-Man films. Steve, speaking of films, you saw Jurassic World 2.
Fuck yeah, I did.
I saw the biggest spoiler out of context of it.
The one thing I will say, the one spoiler, quote-unquote, that I will say that disappointed me about the movie, they cut Jeff Goldblum saying life finds a way.
What the fuck?
I was so upset. Like, I was waiting. Like, beginning of the movie, I'm like, nah, they're going to save it for the end. And then end. He's doing a speech. Doesn't fucking say it. Well,
then what's the point?
Marketing.
No, what's the point of seeing it then? If you don't have Jeff Goldblum saying his fucking line.
But at the same time, that maybe knocks it down 1% on my rating scale.
Yeah, you came into that movie just to be entertained by dinosaurs.
Yeah, because it was a fucking Jurassic Park movie. I've loved every single one, unapologetically loved 3. Everyone hates on 3, but I love it. It's stupid, it's dinosaurs. What the fuck else do you want? Like, yes, I will admit, the first one was very deep because not only did it have
holes.
The groundbreaking practical effects and
the shells CG that dug and the all holes. That.
But it also brought up very philosophical questions about morality and playing God.
And life finding a way.
And they brought that back in Fallen Kingdom. Like, it was actually a deeper movie than the first Jurassic World. Oh, good.
Because the first one, really cheesy. They just rolled in that cheese.
Yeah, never forget Margarita but I mean,
like,
guy.
The end of that, they're like, hey,
it's actually Jimmy Buffett.
Hey, you know what? We're actually using these dinosaurs from the military.
We're going to strap guns
again,
to them.
Okay, you are focusing on the minimalist part of the plot. The dude fucking has 10 minutes of screen time and dies. And then like, you know what?
Yeah. Oh, that guy. I thought you were talking about the scientist one.
Yeah, no, Kingpin died. There were still some, again, I will say Jurassic World was kind of cheesy, but it was the good kind of cheese. It was a Gruyere, a Gouda, if you will. But Fallen Kingdom was so much better. You can't put it at number one because Jurassic Park, always number one. Always. But I put it a solid second.
It's a bold claim.
Solid second above all the other movies.
I mean, granted, the rest of them aren't too great. They're all just kind of cheesy at that. After
come
that
on, the Lost World, Jeff Goldblum's daughter, who we just learned about in the second movie, does gymnastics and kicks a velociraptor out a window. Come on.
Yeah, I have such distinctive memories of that one scene.
It's just like, what?
Every time someone brings it up.
That's because that's the only thing that everyone focuses on of The Lost World. Gymnastics, kick a velociraptor through a window.
You know, to be perfectly honest, like, all three of those movies kind of blend. Just like, because I saw them so young and I've never actually went back to revisit any of them.
Like, I just want you to picture in your mind, just kind of build the scene of the movie. Do you remember Vince Vaughn being in the second one?
No.
Vince Vaughn was in the second one.
I remember the one dude from Seinfeld.
He was in the first one and died in the first
one. George Costanza?
No, Newman.
Oh, right.
Wayne Knight.
Yes.
He died to the spitter, which is Dilophosaurus, but I call it the spitter.
I heard there was a, like, again, I saw one, like, really weird endgame spoiler. I'm like, that's interesting. That's going to change the game for these movies. This is going to, it got me, it reminded me of, like, I think it was, like, the sixth Resident Evil movie or the fifth one. Where, like, that's when I was like,
they gave up.
You know, it's not even like the third one that I gave up on. I still thought they were decent movies. And then when we got to like five or six, I'm just like, the fuck is going on? There's no shark. It's like, it's a zombie shark and they clearly jumped it already. But like,
they jumped the shark, killed the shark. The shark came back as a zombie and then they jumped it again.
Like, Fallen Kingdom kind of follows the ramifications of, like, the ending of the first Jurassic Park that they never went anywhere with, where it's, like, them flying in a helicopter, they look out the side, and pterodactyls are flying next to them. Never gets fucking brought up again. The pterodactyls were flying towards the mainland of Costa Rica.
They shot them down.
And fucking Jurassic World, twice, two times in a row, these motherfuckers made me cry over a brontosaurus.
They know how to get you, Steve.
Like, the first one was like, oh, my heart, because all I'm imagining while they're doing is a dog. And I'm like, oh, giant long neck puppy, no. And then the second one, they're like, no, not another giant long neck puppy. Don't do this to me. It hurt my soul with the brontosaurus.
Sorry, Steve.
But then it went balls out action with more dinosaur fights, Blue being a badass. Oh, so good.
You want to hear my mini review of Hereditary?
Don't see it.
God. That's my only statement. It's just God. I'm like, fuck, man. Like, it's not even like tension scary. It's just like the fuck kind of scary.
Like, please stop.
Like, we have our fingers in your mind.
Let's have some fun. The trailer made me interested. I'm like, okay, there's a dollhouse. Oh, there's shit movie in the dollhouse. God, of course. Fucking damn it. It's like, oh, she's on fire. Oh, he just broke his nose. And then you get there and it's like, pagan deity. I'm like,
the fuck?
Fuck! That's when I lost my shit. And I'm just like, all right, I'm still here. Just fuck me up, fam.
I mean, it's like in Paranormal Activity when you found out that the ghost that was being a dick was an ancient demon who was there to fulfill some childhood prophecy.
Was that that wasn't introduced in the first one, right? The second or third.
Well, the second one, the demon was like takes a prequel, the baby,
wasn't it?
Right. And the demon as Katie.
The second one was kind of going parallel with the first one to where the end of the first movie then goes into the end of the second one. Because, like, Katie has just killed her fiancé and now goes to her sister's house and kills them all and takes the baby, except for the daughter, because she was out on a sleepaway. And then the third one, it's like, all right, now let's show them as kids and show you what the fuck is going on.
No, Hereditary is just like, there's a demon. Great! It's actually a pagan deity. Fuck. All right, let's keep going. The last 30 minutes of that film, I'm just like, I don't want to be here anymore. I just don't want to be here. I feel so uncomfortably scared.
I mean, that's honestly how, like, I keep going back to the Paranormal Activity movies, but, like, they do such a good job of, like, getting you mildly interested in the story they're building, quote unquote. And then the last 5 minutes of, like, all right, time for us to use the rest of the budget to freak you the fuck out.
Now we scare you.
Like, you know, Steve, I was joking. It's like, oh yeah, there's this evil passed down the family bloodline. I'm like, oh, it's Betty Cooper's Darkness, where they all secretly become BDSM mistresses or doms or whatever you want to be in your life because, hey, we don't judge. And it was just like, it looks at that and it turns that into like Child's Play. It looks at the Black Hood concept and it's like, oh, look at this picture book we just gave our child. And it's just like, like someone just gets like decapitated 20 minutes into the movie. I'm like, I'm not ready for this. What is going on? So
it looks at Riverdale's like, that's cute. Yeah. Sit back, nerd. Buckle up.
Like, they're just coming back. They're driving. And it's like, oh, look, there's a pagan symbol on that sign. And then someone gets decapitated. I'm like, the fuck? The fuck is going on with this?
I'll say the worst.
So, yeah, really high praise and review. If you really just want to get fucked up, like you like horror movies, knock yourself out. I thought Get Out was legitimately scary. But, man, this film just makes you feel uncomfortable and disturbed.
Fucking white. Just like just watch the goddamn white people. White people and the goddamn demons.
It's when we were playing Super Fight with Gabe. But the white people from Get Out. And Steve's like, yeah, I'll just blend
yes,
in.
Yes, I'm one of them.
I'll never know.
But hey, if you like the Jurassic Park series, go see Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom in theaters now.
Oh, I should have saw Incredibles 2 today.
You should have.
Incredibles 2 was fantastic. I can go on a review about that, too.
No, we're good. I need to watch it.
We could talk about the Bao Bun Baby.
No, let's just keep moving. If you want to watch Hereditary, fuck yourself up, man. Go for it. Just God. Make it stop.
So what are infinite warps?
Oh.
Please explain.
Oh, actually, real quick, before we jump too far away from what we were just talking about, when you went to see Hereditary, did they show you a trailer for the newest Conjuring series movie, The Nun?
God yeah. damn it, there's more?
Dude, that fucking jump scare at the end made me almost shit my pants. Like, they played it before Tag when I went to see that. I was like, all right, cool. There's the nun behind her. Where's the jump scare going to happen? And then I'm like, all right, cool. Just end it there, right? Nah. Fucking jump scare. I watched everyone in my row jump. I was like, fuck you. Fuck you.
Dude, I'm legitimately down for any Conjuring spinoffs and sequels just because James Wan did such an incredible job with those.
Still have not seen any of the Annabelles.
Those are actually pretty decent.
Or the final key.
All right. Zach, are you ready for the infinity warps?
Oh, it's infinity warp, not infinite warp?
You know,
I'm not going to lie. When I looked at it, I thought it said infinite wraps. I was like, I'm confused, but I'll go along with it.
So this is coming from IO9. It's about Marvel's current Infinity Wars series. Not to be confused with Infinity War.
Pluralized.
And it will deal with the reemergence of the Infinity Stones in the Marvel Universe for the first time since the publisher rebooted it at the climax of Secret Wars. So, for those of you who don't know, the Eternals, like the space god deities that control all of the Marvel Universe.
Are these the ones that Doom, like, said, fight me, bitch? In a...
Yes.
Time runs out.
Yeah. So the Eternals, after the original Infinity Gauntlet and Thanos fucking everything up, they put limits on the Infinity Stones. Now, all of the Infinity Stones could not be used at the same time concurrently. Al Ewing.
Fucking rip.
Ballad's patch.
Yeah.
Rip off.
Al Ewing in Ultimates following Secret Wars. I did my research, even though you're the only one that read it.
I read the first arc.
Yeah. He went on to explain how in all the Infinity Stones actually power each other up. They can't be used concurrently anymore to create a new universe or whatever, but if you're in the presence of the Power Stone and the Mind Stone, one of them will get more power. Well, since Doom fucked everything up in Secret Wars, all the laws of the Marvel Universe got rewritten, hence the sliding time scale and like certain events having more weight so people remember them differently. Tony Stark was no longer in Vietnam and ended up in... No, he was no longer in the Gulf War. He
wound up in Desert Storm.
Yeah, he wound up in Desert Storm in the sliding timescale. Uncle Ben died, and Uncle Ben's still dead.
Is that why it's only been like 2 years since Civil War?
Yep. Each Marvel events carries a certain weight, and that kind of like controls time itself with that sliding timescale. But because the Universal Laws got rewritten, all the Infinity Gems and Infinity Stones are at full power. When they find the first Infinity Stone in Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like the size of our house. It's like, this is the raw potential of the Infinity Stones.
I'm so hard right now.
Yeah, pretty much. So, with this, There's a new miniseries line called the Infinity Warps, because the Infinity Stones and their vast power to warp reality are happening again. So why not take some of Marvel's best writers and basically start a new amalgamation series with Marvel itself? You remember Darkclaw from the Marvel DC universe?
Oh, yes.
Wolverine and Batman? He's gone. You remember Captain America Superman? I don't know what he was called. Can't be Super America because that would be dumb. He's gone. Instead, they're like, what if we took Marvel heroes and combined them? And it's like, oh, like when you gave Cyclops the Phoenix. No. Two different characters. Oh, like when Iron Fist became Daredevil. No. We're just fusing them together. So
you know Dragon Ball Z? No. Will they do this fusion thing?
Close to that.
There's a dance.
So
they also have the Patora, that if they put it on opposite ears, then they fuse together without having to do the dance.
Closer to that.
Are arguably less powerful than the fusion dance, but...
Dude, they're HD remastering all the old Dragon Ball Z films.
Dude, fucking Broly.
Fusion fight. Can't wait for that
Reborn.
One. Janemba.
Or they fight Janemba in hell.
So I did end up watching Ghost in the Shell. That's an old-ass movie.
Did you watch the HD?
I watched... Yes. Okay. It was HD.
Did you take my other advice for the night?
No. Oh, no, I did not.
I have one of two things.
I only had the dub option. The dub did not hold up.
So, going back, Marvel's Infinity Warps. The first title is called Infinity Warps Iron Hammer, which is an amalgamation of what two heroes?
Riri Williams and Jane Foster.
If only.
Damn.
It's Iron Man and Thor, written by Al Ewing, speak of the devil, and Raymond Rosanas, who's doing art. There is also Infinity Warps Soldier Supreme.
Doctor Strange and Winter Soldier?
Close. Captain America and Doctor Strange.
Oh.
Which is going to be written by Gary Dugan and Adam Kubert.
That sounds like someone who works at a fast food restaurant.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Ku Klux Klan ranking.
New from Taco Bell.
Another wizard.
The Captain Supreme.
They saw Gandalf on the screen come back and started cheering.
Wait, he went from gray to white?
Oh, yeah!
As Kayla explained to me, the power rankings are actually important.
They are.
And white is actually the highest power in the
Because you're like reincarnated,
wizards.
Right?
They're essentially the lanterns of wizards.
Okay. I'm going to badly butcherize this. I'm sorry to my lovely girlfriend. So basically, the wizards were whatever god in the Lord of the Rings universe is angels. So the angels descended to Earth to help guide humankind, elves, and whatever. So there's five wizards. There's Gandalf the Grey, Sauron the White, Radagast the Brown, and then two blue wizards who never got names. The blue wizards went east or west, I don't know, to spread the good word. The other three wizards stayed in that area of Middle Earth to oversee the humans and the hobbits and the elves and whatever.
Hobbits.
Yeah. So when Gandalf died, God and the rest of the angels looked at him. It's like, nah, bro, your mission's not done yet. We're giving you back to the earth. And then down descends Gandalf in white.
So there was Saruman, white, leader of many colors. Gandalf, gray, later white. Radagast the brown. I'm going to butcher these names, so I apologize, Kayla.
She doesn't listen to this. It's okay.
Mornitar? Mornitar? The blue. And Romestamo the blue.
And they have no story. But anyways, going back to the Marvel, there's Huberto
Avatar,
Ramos.
The blue.
Also did a few more concept arts. So he gets there. They don't have names as of yet, but there's Ghost Rider Black Panther, who has a giant 4 foot tall high panther on fire.
I'm psyched.
Okay.
It's like, you know, when they announced Ghost Rider 1 million BC.
The mammoth.
And then the mammoth is dead on the first page. It's like,
you fucking bait and switch.
But then Jason Aaron's revisiting it.
You don't even know the letdown that was.
No, I don't.
You don't know the pride of the Ghost Rider lovers. to be let down. It's like, yeah, Flaming Mammoth. Oh, he's dead.
There's also Weapon Hex, which is X-23. Good old Laura mixed with Scarlet Witch, I believe. Arachnite, who is Moon Knight mixed with Spider-Man, which is also ridiculously overpowered.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah. So with all these series coming in, they are just playing with it and see what happens. If the amalgamation succeeds, maybe we see more what-if stories. I mean, the original what-if story of Jane as Thor came out, and then we just got an amazing, beautiful run. Even so, they're revisiting that too with Spider-Geddon. And the solicits are slowly leaking out about that. I don't know what it is. I didn't actually read it. I'm like, oh, Hobby Brown as Spider-Man is back. Yes, the Amazing Spider-Punk. But yeah. Speaking of comics and actual comic book news, which is the original point of this podcast, DC is launching Walmart 100 Page Giants. So they're expanding
doing Batman.
Yeah. They're expanding their line to starting in July. Wow. That's quick. 100 page stories featuring different stories from different authors to try and like get people interested. We have Brian Michael Bendis writing Batman with Nick Darrington doing art. Original stories featuring Jimmy Palmiotti, Amanda Connor, Dan Jurgens, Tim Seeley. Tom King is doing a 12-part Superman story. And I don't remember who's doing art on that. But all the Walmart giant comics will be sold exclusively in more than 3,000 participating Walmart stores around the country.
Is this DC? Is DC like trying to like undo the direct market since everybody keeps saying the direct market is failing?
I don't think so.
Like slowly like trying to like expand their reach.
Yeah, it's the same reason why, like, I don't know if you heard this news, but GameStop's selling comics now.
Oh yeah, it's true.
So it's kind of them just trying to expand their reach. Marvel already is doing this. They're doing the Marvel Digest things and just reprinting old stories. So it kind of falls along the same lines of like Archie and Marvel and whatever else. It's kind of interesting to see them kind of commit to it now. Like, oh, here, look, old stories that you may not have ever read. I'm like, oh, that's the Geoff Johns Teen Titans run. It's in 100 pages. But what else comes with it? So it's like it seems like it's like a combination of a bunch of issues that they're going to be releasing at $4.99 a month. And think about it. Look at the Walmart book section. Who even steps foot in that? Not kids. They don't know how to read.
I was going to say, they're going to need to get like a giant cutout of Batman or Superman being like, this way to comics.
Yeah.
Just creepily staring outside the book section. Was like,
or you could just put it in the toy section. Like,
yeah, put it on an end cap right by the action figures. Boom. But parents are going to walk by those end caps no matter what. Believe me, I worked retail for 3.5 years. I know how they set these things up.
The end caps are always the most important.
It's like, oh, this just came out. End cap on the main aisle so that when people are walking by, they're like,
I immediately see it.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Yeah.
Do that with the comics. You're going to sell a fuck ton of those.
Yeah, so publisher Dan Didio has stated, we are extraordinarily excited about working with Walmart to expand the reach of our books. These new monthly titles, our new monthly books combine new and accessible stories with reprints of classic comic series. It's a great way for new readers to get into comics and follow the characters they've grown to love in TV and film. All these different people are working on these things. I'm really excited to see Jimmy Palmiotti work on a Superman story. I'm not going to go out of my way to buy any of these, but it might be neat to pick one up. In the Teen Titans special, they have the first issue of the Terrifics also, which is like, oh, look, they're trying to expand their current new line of heroes as well to see if people are interested in them.
Because actually someone in CCBE just posted a picture from Dan Didio, I think, of what the
end cap looks like, yeah.
Yeah, and on one of the sides was sideways.
Yeah. Not Spider-Man, as people call him.
The DC Spider-Man.
Dude, he's a cosplayer. Well, his best friend's a cosplayer. But it's like, look, relevancy. New superheroes, of course they're going to cosplay. Duh.
Naturally.
Yeah.
So let's see, on the side they've got Teen Titans, Sideways, Aquaman, Nightwing, Catwoman, Killer Croc, Poison Ivy, Batman, Black Canary, Starfire, Robin, Impulse.
Rest in peace.
Wonder Girl, Beast Boy, Superboy.
Actually, wait. He's going to be in... Yeah.
Harley Quinn, Justice League, and Terrifics. Because they're bringing in some of those...
Terrifics.
People should know about the Terrifics because it's like, look, you got Mr. Terrific and Arrow.
Fair play.
You got Elongated. Elongated. Yeah, never mind.
Don't hate on Ralph Dibny. He was fucking great in Flash.
I keep telling you guys, I just need to leave my 52 omnibus out.
Well, I started reading it, like, I flipped through the first few pages and then just kind of looked at it as a whole, and I'm like, maybe later.
I read that in like 3 days. That's like all I did. And I carried that thing in my backpack in college. But yeah, The Tragedy of Ralph Dibny. You read Identity Crisis, which is an editorial demanded story about the death and rape of his wife and other terrible, dark things that everyone wants to forget. And then you read 52, where he's a raging alcoholic and he's off on a detective mystery story with a cult. And it's just like, so good. B-list characters are the best. I went up to Steve Orlando. I'm like, dude, you have no idea how excited you make me with all these B-list characters. I'm like, Bwana Beast, man. That's awesome. He's like, I don't think anyone's ever told me that. I'm like, probably not. I'm sorry.
What a fake nerd. He's not Bwana Beast, man. He's just
Bwana Beast, comma, man. God. Where it's like, he and I were talking about Aztec. I'm like, dude, I'm really glad you brought back Aztec and you've made her this new character. It's like, yeah, I always thought the fact that Aztec was a white guy named Eric really weird. I'm like, you know, dude, you are exactly right.
There's nothing weird about that statement.
Nope. Anyways, that's really cool. And like I said, GameStop selling comics is... GameStop's turning into a hot topic.
Well, and GameStop even has...
You might get bought by Hot Topic.
Yeah, GameStop has exclusive covers now, too. Like, there was, I think it was a Rocket and Groot that when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, they had an exclusive cover with
Batman. Oh, yeah, and they also do it for Batman Day.
Yeah. It's like, fucking GameStop gets exclusive covers now.
GameStop is the new Hot Topic, and Hot Topic is the new Hot Topic.
I was going to say, it's going to be Hot Topic presents GameStop.
Like, you remember back in the day when you go into Hot Topic and it was like all these punk shirts and skinny jeans? That's all in the corner now.
I was going to say, now you walk in and like, oh, look, anime, pop culture,
Harry Potter. And then all the emo shits in the back corner.
It's like, what's the latest teen craze? Riverdale? Here's a whole wall of Riverdale.
There you go.
They sell red ties. It makes me laugh every time. I'm like, oh, Black Parade. Gerard Way.
When he was a young boy.
Yeah. Lucifer is next on our list. Sticking with DC related news. Lucifer has been saved from damnation by Netflix.
Thank you, Jesus.
Do you remember when the Olive Garden moms were, or when the moms were boycotting Olive Garden because they had an ad spot in Lucifer?
Yeah.
No.
It's amazing.
I remember that.
I think we talked about that on one episode. But, so Hollywood Trade reports that Netflix will pick up the series, which was canceled earlier this year by Fox for a fourth season.
I mean, what's fascinating is, I'm assuming all of these moms were the good-hearted Christians.
Yeah.
They probably,
Christian mother groups.
They clearly have never watched the show because they don't understand the plot of it, whereas Lucifer doesn't want to be Lucifer anymore. He wants to be good. He wants to become a decent person again. He doesn't want to be all hell and damnation and torturing souls.
But it just has the name Lucifer. That's all they need to hear.
Lucifer, evil son of the devil, not in my house.
It's not even the son of the devil. He was an angel.
He was an archangel. Son of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said son of the
devil. Went against God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Devil himself. Son of God spoke who rebelled out and got thrown out.
Looking at you, Zorame. I'm waiting.
It's going to happen. 666? Like, come on.
I started thinking about it. You remember how I was joking around, half joking, like the Beauty and the Beast book, how I was like, oh, look, here we go. It's the children's fairy tale book. And, oh, the Beast, because it's flip gendered, right?
Yeah, the Beast.
The Beast has to give up her wings to be with the prince. But then she got her wings back and flew to the stars. I'm like, are they they're going to space. They have to go to space. Wait. Like,
I mean, the,
give us the Tengen, Toph, and Gurren Lagann fight.
The ape base is in space.
Like, Something's going to happen.
I didn't mean for that to almost rhyme like that.
They wanted you to.
Like, at some point, the aliens are going to come. One, Ape is already the aliens. Two, Zero Two is going to fly off to space, and then Hero's going to be like, okay, how can I go to space? And then they're going to rewrite...
The Quaxus or Princess is going to be like, yo, I can help with this.
And then they're going to do the thing where it's like, oh, and look, this is the story of this, but we're going to rewrite that ending. That's what they're going to do. Yep. That's the final episode. And they're suddenly, like, we're going to write our new ending together, because they're rebuilding the book in the marriage wedding episode.
And suddenly, all of Team Gurren comes over the hill, followed by Akko and all of the Little Witch Academia. And then suddenly, Kill la Kill shoots.
Then you just hear yelling and giant scissor blades.
I'm just saying, my aliens thing is coming closer to fruition. Because
I mean, my theory is already out there. If the Abes are aliens, they're the reason the Klaxosaurus came out of hiding.
Yep.
Because next week, that's episode 20, this is when shit hits fan, and there's only 6 episodes after that.
Like, Klaxosaurus is going to be the original They're going to be the original Guardians of Earth, and
then they just sci-fi tropes.
And they said, fuck it, this is our Earth now. Fuck all y'all while you're still here. Also, my wallet just cried a little bit.
What did you find?
So, tomorrow at noon Pacific time, a Kickstarter is going up selling D&D miniatures of your favorite Critical Role characters.
Oh, fuck.
From first and second campaign.
Oh, fuck.
8 from each campaign with a bonus for Vox Machina of Terry and Doty. Be still in my heart, Terry. And for the Mighty Nine, you not only get the Mighty Nine. You
better get Kiri.
No Kiri, sadly.
God damn it.
I guarantee you Kiri's going to be a stretch goal.
She better be.
But you do get the one, the only, Shikasta.
Oh, shit.
And as a bonus, you get Pumat Prime.
Oh, my God.
And yes. 3 of Pumat Simulcrums.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Thus, my wallet cried. Because I'm looking at this like, well,
$150 or something.
All of you miniatures are going to be mine. They haven't put, it doesn't start until noon, so they don't have prices up yet, but I'm probably going to be buying both sets. And whatever stretch goals come with it. Because if they're like, yeah, here's a Kiri stretch goal, I'm like, here's $1,000.
Take it.
Give me my bird child, even though I could just buy a Kanku. And
no, it's not the same. It's not a baby Kiri. Bird child.
Also, Zach, Kiri is essentially what you wanted your...
Yes. Yeah, she's a Kanku.
When you wanted to be like, I'm going to be a Kanku that doesn't talk. I'm like, fuck you.
Have fun with that, because it sounds really hard.
It's essentially what Kiri is. A Kanku that can't talk, but mimics what people say.
I'm kind of like... I'm not saying I'm betraying you guys, but I did start a Roll 20 campaign with a few friends.
You would... D&D whore.
More than anything, I'm surprised Zach doesn't try and play with strangers online.
I'm too scared. I'm hopping into some Roll D20. Just because I kind of want to play again also.
I just want to play. So I've been like pushing like, hey, are we going to do the pirate one? We could do the pirate one?
That's why we'll play, I asked man. Earlier today if like we hadn't planned. Cause it's like, I don't know, maybe we'll do some D&D this weekend.
Arr, it's me too, lads.
Well, we're helping Jim move now, yeah. So that's not going to happen.
With my arms.
And my legs.
And my back.
So close to a fellowship. Anyways, that was a weird circle around from Lucifer. Yes. The final thing that we're going to be talking about is that Bethesda is suing the creators of new Westworld mobile game.
Oh boy, this whole thing is this is a fun one. So, let me give you the rundown.
I like how Zach has like the one topic he really this wants to talk thing. About each week.
But this whole thing is just like, and why did he suck, man? Like,
and just conveniently just kind of puts it there at the end.
So, this is from Twinfinite. Not only a day after the Westworld mobile game hit online marketplaces, Bethesda has launched a lawsuit against publisher Warner Bros. And Fallout Shelter co-developer Behavior Interactive, citing the game is a blatant ripoff of Fallout Shelter. How do they know this? The game has the same exact bugs as Fallout Shelter. They took the code from Fallout Shelter and then just put a Westworld skin on it.
I was almost about to defend this game. I'm like, oh yeah, they just look similar.
No, it's the actual fucking, like, they stole Bethesda's code, which by law, they have copyright claim over. And
that's just sloppy.
And as of this afternoon, I saw a follow-up article of Bethesda's already like begun the lawsuit against them.
And those AT&T, they're just sending their lawyers after.
It's pretty much open and closed for them.
Yeah, it's just like, what the? What were you thinking? Like, how did you think this was not going to go wrong?
Some people are now going to be blacklisted by the entire industry.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, like, this has happened before with this company. Like, they were named something else. Like, back in, like, the 360 and PS3 era with, like, really bad movie tie-in games.
Not Platinum.
No, not Platinum. And then they renamed themselves after a while. So they kind of, like, get rid of the stigma. And now this. It's just like, yeah, you're fucked. You are fucked.
I'm actually looking at Behavior Interactive right now.
Yeah, it's like, I just love that that's how Bethesda knew that they had stolen the code. It's like, oh yeah, you have the same exact bugs as that as Fallout Shelter did when it launched.
Well, and you know that like as soon as that got noticed, someone was probably scrambling like, shit, can I change this real quick? Can I change this? But
no, you're too late.
Nope, it's too late. Because all it takes is someone taking their original game, not even updating it, and be like,
That was the more impressive thing for me. I'm like, did you like never fix those bugs, or were you more concerned that if you didn't fix the bugs, it was even more obvious?
So they originally were called Artificial Mind and Movements.
Yes.
Bringing you games such as Bugs Bunny and Taz, Time Busters, Smurf Racer, Ice Age on the Game Boy Advance, Scooby-Doo Mystery Mayhem, Scalar, Kim Possible. They did three games. That's So Raven, the game.
They were the ones where it's like Disney wanted a Game Boy game, so it was just
go here. Do something.
So Teen Titans 2, The Brotherhood's Revenge.
Like three Lizzie McGuire games.
No, they didn't do the Lizzie McGuire games.
They didn't do those, damn.
Spider-Man, Friend or Foe, which was really bad. Power Rangers, Super Legends. Yeah, all these games
are not good.
I remember them. Like they are reskins of one another. Oh, also, some games like Dante's Inferno.
Yep. I remember that.
But Dante's Inferno is actually good.
It's a fun action game,
even though it was a reskin of Devil May Cry.
And the second 3D Ultra Mini Golf Adventures game. Not the first, just the second.
They made a second.
Oh, yeah.
And their current games are Bugs Bunny Lost in Time as Behavior Interactive in 1999. They were producing games in 2010, and they also became Behavior Interactive in the 90s.
They might have just had the two studios and merged them.
Yeah. Maybe. Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked.
Oh, that's a winner right there.
Victorious. Remember when they... Whatever happened in the days they made Nickelodeon and Disney video games? Those would be such easy achievements.
They were so bad, though.
Achievements. Doritos Crash Course 2. Not the first one, just the second one. Rango, the game. Tetris on PSN. Oh, they did Halo Wars, the definitive edition.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's a really good remaster. And, of course, they also did the original Fallout Shelter. So they're violating the copyright claim.
Yes. That is why Bethesda is like, hey, lawyers, go.
It's like, hey, we put this code out there. Maybe let's just do it again with a different company.
They won't notice,
right?
It
reminds
me
of, what was the game Niantic did before Go? Doesn't matter.
Ingress.
Yeah. Where Ingress's same server was Pokemon Go. So when something happened to Ingress, Pokemon Go would have the same thing pop up. But now Bethesda's just like, yeah, no, you're fucked.
It's like, hey, we could just reuse this code with a different company, right? They're just like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, but that pop up Bethesda was just laughing.
Did they?
They worked. They like
they
helped
worked
them.
On it. Yeah. They also did Phineas and Ferb, Quest for Cool Stuff. Sorry, I'm just... Some of these
going
games
down
are
down
like...
It's like, wow.
Yes, we all remember Pacific Rim, the mobile game.
Yeah, there's not much else to say other than they're done.
Yeah, and the studio's going to blow up and people are going
to...
Honestly,
you would expect them to just settle out of court. I don't think Bethesda's going to let them. No. I think they're just like, no, we have money. We're just...
like
go this... fuck yourselves.
Like, the groundwork of this is going to be cease and desist, mm-hmm. and then your ass is ours.
Yeah.
But guys, what's ever going to happen to Star Citizen?
Oh yeah, they are working on Star Citizen. I mean, that game's not going to come out anyway, so...
Hey. They're also working on Squadron 42, the single-player story-driven game set in the same universe as Star Citizen.
A.K.A., hey, we have a code. Let's maybe slap a single-player skin on it.
Oh, man. All right, we got one more thing.
Is it from him, Tusky?
It is from him, Tusky. He wrote in to c2podcast.com/comment like you can and says, hey, guys, him, Tusky again. A little upset my question didn't get answered. So I'm here to try it again, heart. Who would win in a fight, John Wick or Jack Reacher? Who is this Tim Husky you keep comparing me to? Anyways, love the show. Bye.
Fuck, you changed his question?
God yeah.
Damn it. I had points, counterpoints.
Who are the two people?
Him, Tusky. Oh, John Wick or Jack Reacher.
Well, I've never seen a John Wick movie.
John Wick would absolutely
John
win.
Wick would absolutely
and
win.
The
like,
only...
it's not even a contest.
Jack Reacher is... what, like a CIA
he was spec
operative?
Ops.
Yeah.
No, I thought Jack Reacher was...
No, he was spec ops and then got brought, when he was done with his tour, joined the CIA.
So he's just a spec ops guy. John Wick is a trained killing machine.
Isn't John Krasinski?
John Krasinski, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a desk jockey that got roped into a CIA operation.
That was the reboot.
Sorry, that's like the only thing I'm familiar with.
The original was...
Wasn't Chris Pine also Jack Reacher?
Yes. That was like where...
So if you get like the
no, that
entire...
No, that was Jack Ryan, wasn't no. it?
Tom Cruise was... Wait, nope, yep.
Tom Cruise is Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan is... No, Jack Ryan is Chris Pine Jacks. And John Krasinski. Jack Reacher is Tom Cruise.
They're both freaking...
So that makes characters. It a little closer, because yeah. Jack Reacher is a fucking monster of a spec ops. But at the same time, he's not Baba Yaga.
But I mean, if you had Jack Ryan in the mix too, you have Jack Ryan, Baldwin, Harrison Ford, Ben Affleck, Chris Pine, and John Krasinski.
He like still dies five, right away.
Five highly trained operatives versus John Wick.
John Wick took down his whole mafia single-handedly.
I've just never seen the movie. I don't know.
Jack Reacher had a little help in his taking down of a criminal organization. But he didn't take down assassins.
Well, let's put it this way. When a whole... Is it the mafia in John Wick or like mobsters?
They're kind of like a pseudo-mafia.
Okay, when they're fucking terrified when they learn whose dog they killed, that
whose
says
dog
something.
Whose car they stole. And they straight up refer
like,
to him as...
What did you do?
The boogeyman. And sing the Baba Yaga song about him. And you know, that does bring up the point. Did Jack Reacher kill John Wick's dog?
Ooh.
If he did, he's straight
fucked.
Oh, he's
good. He's dead.
But if he didn't, if it's just like, we put you two in an arena, fight to the death.
See, that, at that point,
call.
I think, yeah.
See, but I
at so, that point, I feel like they like band together and just go beat up whoever put them to fight against each
other. It brings
up
the age-old question of Batman, is there prep time?
So, also, you got to think about this.
I don't know if Jack or
even
John
if there's no prep
time,
John Wick's in Fortnite. He can build bases out of thin air.
He theoretically could kill Thanos with a gun.
Under a double barrel shotgun, that's all he needs. So there's your answer.
Yeah.
Fortnite.
Yes. That's the answer to everything.
But, let's put this to a official Democratic vote. Your vote, Zach?
Fortnite.
John Wick.
John Wick.
Three for John Wick. Even, you know, take out prep time, just throw him in an arena.
I think John Wick still wins that.
John Wick
prep
has
time.
The pure hand-to-hand. Like, six assassins from the mafia came to kill him, and he single-handedly killed them without having any of his own guns. Either he had a pistol.
But he
took down six fully armed, fully armored assassins that came after him with no prep time. He just knew they were coming, and then when they showed up, it was go time. Jack Reacher, eh.
I'm reading all about Jack Ryan right now.
Jack Ryan or Jack Reacher?
Jack Ryan.
Oh, God.
Like, this guy has had a prolific
career.
There
you go, Tim Tusky. And you, too, can have your questions.
You can have your death battle answered by this panel. Eat it, Screw Attack.
ZGPodcast.com/comment.
Unless
please
you
want to
bring
it.
Us in Screw Attack, we can help with death battles.
I have limitless amounts of useless comic book knowledge. I'm ready.
Fight me.
Today's death battle, Nyan Nub versus Spock.
Is Neonubbin an X-Wing or the Falcon? Or Spock? Are they? I would like to imagine them just both on the ground slapping each other.
Hand-to-hand combat.
But the thing is, Spock is trained.
Actually, no, yeah. You couldn't
martial training.
Like, that would be more Han Solo versus Spock. I'd say Neonub.
No, Spock would still destroy.
I would say Neonub versus maybe, like, Chekhov or something.
But they went through the academy. Crew, they're all, like, super fit.
Not necessarily.
Anyways, as always, thank you guys for listening to your brand new episode of the ZT Podcast.
There might be a question.
You can reach us at
ZTPodcast.com. I couldn't hear what you said, so I'm like, wait, I have to decipher this.
I was going
to
say there might be a potential question from Pativ and Shillups next week. Neander versus Chekhov.
Oh, God damn it.
And we're also very active on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can reach us there. We will try and respond as quick as possible. Also, if you haven't already, go check out the hashtag Healthy Comics. It's a brand new thing. Matt Wilson, the colorist for Marvel and Image series, The Wicked and the Divine, is starting. Just about getting fit and living a better life.
Also, we're on Spotify now.
Yay!
Which is very exciting.
You can also thumbs up us there. Maybe. I don't know how Spotify works.
They have follows.
You can follow us there. You don't have to download us, but you can follow us there. Because more visibility helps us out, help you out, because we're here for your ears.
Now you just made it creepy. Why did you have to go and do this? No, we're not.
Put the turkey in the oven and set the temperature.
No, we're not. No ASMR.
Ooh, don't forget that dressing.
Nope.
Gotta stuff it in there nice.
And
I'm taking your baster away.
My what?
Turkey baster.
Oh, I thought you said my baser. I'm like, is that Tracer's like cousin?
See, that makes it even better because then you gotta do it by hand.
God damn it.
No tools, just
a hot oven. Yes.
Oh, natural.
Oh, yes, you hear that? Oh, yeah, that's your hand burning from the searing hot.
Yeah, turkey you forgot juice. To put the glove on. Ooh, and yeah, now your hand is roasting.
You gotta wrap it before you tap it.
Come on, God.
Thank you, guys. Love you, Internet.
Oh, God, bye.